Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome each and every one of you in the studio on tonight, whether you're listening live in the studio or you're listening via the internet. You are welcome on tonight. Thank you for taking the time to tune in to tonight's broadcast. I am excited about tonight's broadcast. I thought I was going in one direction. And this is not unusual because I thought I was going to go in one direction. I was going to go to the left. And God said, no, we're going to go to the right. And so I am excited what he has downpoured into me to share with you all on tonight. Now, tonight's show may not be for everyone, and I don't expect that every Thursday night that my show is for everyone. But I do believe that when God gives me a show to do, that show is going to touch someone that's listening in on tonight. Someone's going to be delivered. Someone's going to be set free. Someone's going to recover or be released or renewed or restored. And so that's what I'm trusting God on tonight, that someone will be delivered from whatever bondage that's keeping them stagnant, from whatever pain that they're holding on to, who we are as adults in our lives, the decisions that we make, the choices that we make. I guarantee you, especially negative behavior, we could always go back, and we could see when we go back somewhere in our past that something affected us, something caused us to form our opinions about something, something caused us to maybe operate in a certain behavior, and we started that stuff maybe when we were with small kids. And then here we are 40 years later, and we're still doing the same thing. We're still operating the same thing. We didn't leave that little boy or that little girl behind. We didn't release them. And so we're still at 58 and 38 and 48, we're still behaving like we're 8. Amen? And so we need to start being willing to not be scared, because sometimes you have to experience the pain in order to heal from the pain. And so sometimes we have to go back to that painful place that got us to where we're at. You know, what makes me do what I do? Why do I do that? Especially when it's negative behavior. So anyway, I don't know where that was coming from, but tonight's show is entitled Recognizing and Recovering from the Cinderella Syndrome. Recognizing and recovering from the Cinderella Syndrome. So, again, I'm excited about tonight's show. I'm going to be laying some foundational work. And for those of you who have been following me, when I say I'm going to be laying some foundational work, normally that's saying, hey, it's going to start off maybe a little boring. It's going to start off because I'm going to have to lay the work. I'm going to have to give you some. I'm going to have to give you some theory. I'm going to have to give you some theory before we get to the practical. So I'm going to have to lay the foundation. I'm going to have to read. I'm going to have to give you some information. So I'm going to give you everything you need so that you could come to a conclusion. What is my hope? Ask me that. Anytime you go somewhere, whether it's listening in on a show or you're going to a workshop or a conference, you should always ask yourself, what am I expecting to gain? What am I expecting to gain from tonight's show? How can this show benefit me? Like I said, the show may not be for everyone, but I do believe that everyone could get something out of the show. I'm going to repeat that. The show may not be for everyone, but I do believe everyone could get something out of the show. I believe there's a lesson to be learned on tonight. Amen. So what we're dealing with when I talk about the Cinderella Syndrome, Coach D, what does that mean? The Cinderella Syndrome. First of all, we want to talk because we've been talking. I said that I wasn't going to follow the same pattern as women to women as it pertains to the month of May. It was Mother's Day, so we've been kind of utilizing the month of May to share various things about mothers. You know, mothers, whether it be extended mothers, biological mothers, non-biological mothers, mother-like, mother figures, whatever. And that's what they've been doing on Wednesday night on Woman to Woman. So I said I would not follow that, and I'm not planning on following that. But I want to be obedient. And so last night we did a show about the other mother. We did a show called The Other Mother, and basically it spoke to stepmothers, it spoke to mother-like figures, it spoke to adopted mother, whatever, acted as a mother, whatever the mother thing was. And so as we were doing the show last night, I kind of shared a testimony, and I'm going to share it with you all tonight because you may have not been on last night's show. So I will go into that testimony a little bit. But while we were doing the show and when I began to share my testimony, it really dropped in my spirit that we need to really, really recognize and recover from that term step. It's not a good term. And I want tonight, my goal is to help you to recognize where the term came from, why the term exists, why the term holds such a negative connotation. And then I want us to be able to recover, because many of us have had step parents. And I'm using step just in that moment, because I want, we're going to understand why we don't want to use that no more. But many of us have. Many of our parents, biological parents, have gotten remarried maybe once, twice, three times, however many times, and we've had to endure. Some of us have to endure that. Some of us have actually put our own children through that. And so I want to talk about that on tonight. But I'm going to take it a lot deeper and a lot further. So if you were listening to last night's show, don't be discouraged saying, oh, she's going to say the same thing, because it's not. I'm taking it to a totally different level. I'm bringing it from a spiritual level, and I'm bringing it in hopes that those who have experienced, quote, step, unquote, and had negative experiences or held on to negative mindset about it, that you could be set free. And even if you are the extended parent and you're struggling with being an extended parent, tonight's show is for you, amen? So if you know somebody that's dealing with that right now, please text them. Send them a quick message and tell them, get on this show tonight, because I really believe that the Lord has a word for them on tonight. First of all, step, the word step. The origin is from the 17th century, the Old English via German. The word stiop, S-T-O-P, stiop, which meant orphan. So that word meant orphan. So the term step parent really has no place. There's no place, there was no word, it was just by association. Step child had to do with an orphan, and it was an orphan that now came into a family. You know, somebody took this orphan in, and that's where the term stepchild came from. And just because the term stepchild came about in the 17th century, then people started saying, well, that's a stepchild, so that's the step parent of the stepchild. Strictly by association. So that's how it started, so now we understand where that even came from. Amen? So we don't have parents that's orphans, that's step-parents. In that term, we're going to just eliminate it. The word step, and even the definition of step, whether you're talking about steps that lead into a home or a flat surface that's concrete, it has no life, no life. It has no movement. So it has no place in front of a living being. It has no place in front of a living being. Then we're going to take it a step further, because even though that term came out of the 17th century, then in 1634, a book was published that became very popular in children's stories, movies, and even in animation, that tells the story of a young girl whose mother passed, and she lived with her father and evil stepmother and sisters. Yes, this created the Cinderella syndrome, which brought about a negative connotation of the term step. And many movie spinoffs from that further making the term ugly, scary, and negative. Tonight, again, my intent is to help us recognize where this came from, which we're setting that ground now, where it came from, and to release and recover from the Cinderella syndrome. Because tonight, I got something to share with you. And many of us know what I'm going to share with you tonight, but we never put it into play. We never put it into play. I've often heard people say, well, that they maybe their spouse passed away, you know, or maybe they went through a divorce. And I've often heard mothers particularly, and some fathers say, I'll never get married again. I don't want my child to have to experience a step-parent. So I just want to get married, and I'll wait until my child gets grown, and then maybe I'll start looking to live my life. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if their purpose of not getting married is merely to not let their child experience the love, maybe the love, affection, and joy of a extended parent, and that's what I'm going to use for the rest of the night, because, again, I'm using it, losing the term step. So could let them experience an extended parent, then I think that there could be something wrong with that. But if you're just merely saying, hey, I don't have time for the emotional attachment, then that's another thing. So I'm going to read, and I'm going to take us into the Word of God. I've already explained to you where the term step originated. I've already shared with you how that word step became so negative, I believe, through the Cinderella syndrome. And then not to say that just because it's a Cinderella syndrome, I also believe that because of some of these things, that when other parents, extended parents came on the scene, they wasn't received well. And because all of this negativity has been placed inside the child, the extended parent wasn't received well. So the extended parent had to deal with different attitudes and behavior problems because there's a sense there, too, especially when there is not an orphan situation. So, see, we're still using the term step that is part of the German word theop, which means orphan, and these are not orphan. I wasn't an orphan, but I grew up with two sets of parents. And what made it so unique, and my situation is not unique, and everybody can't share this story, but my situation was unique because I literally had two sets of parents. And I never used the term step. And those who knew me as they began to be around me in years and years later, because both of my biological parents have been married to their significant others for close to 50 years. So when you're talking about 50 years of marriage, you're talking about a foundation. So the reality of it is that even though it may be said that I came from a broken home, I was very young when both of my parents remarried. I was very young, and I've seen healthy marriages. I've seen good examples of marriages when you're talking about both sets of parents being married for over 45 years. So it was a good experience for me. And because I didn't use the term step, that was good. And so I'm going to take you to this place on tonight. If you'll just stay with me, I promise you it will be a blessing to you. Because, again, as we were talking about the show last night, I was listening and I was sharing my testimony about my two sets of parents and how people who know me know that they don't ask me which parent sets of parents I'm talking about. Everybody knows, Denise, that when I'm speaking about my parents, I always use the biological parent first. So, for example, when I'm speaking about my biological mother and father, I say my mom and dad. When I'm speaking about my biological father and mother, I say my dad and mom. And everybody, my friends and people that are close to me, know that. So they know who I'm speaking about in the order that I put the name. And that's just something I did that made it a lot more comfortable for me because I did not use the term step. To me, it was offensive, and to me, it set a standard of not belonging. I don't even refer to my extended brothers and sisters as step. They are my brothers and sisters. It's just that simple. I don't refer to it. And to me, again, it's embarrassing to say, well, that's my step sister, or that's my stepmother, or that. I don't like it. I just don't like the whole thing about it. So as I'm sitting there and I'm bringing up old memories because I'm sharing testimonies about the home and the wholeness that was provided by my extended parents. Because my thing is that the biological parent is not whole and they are not right, or they are functioning in some emotional chaos, it makes it difficult for the extended parent. And I believe that a home has to be set in an example of a home. First, it has to be a home. So whether I'm at my mom and dad's home or my dad and mom's home, both places have to be home. There can't be a separation. When I walk into each one of those doors, that become home for me. So first of all, it has to be provided as a home. The second thing is you have to feel home. And so when I walked in, there was no difference between me and my extended siblings. There was no difference between when I go to my mom and dad's house, when I go there, there's no difference. That's mom and dad. I cry with mom and dad. I laugh with mom and dad. I tell mom and dad some of my deepest fears and concerns. And that's mom and dad. There's no difference. That's home. I'm whole. When I go to dad and mom's house, same thing. Two totally different homes. Two totally different atmospheres. Two totally different foundations. But the key thing, no, why should I say foundation? The key thing was that the love and the respect was there. Now, has it always been like that? Absolutely not. Because you live and learn. Life is a learning experience. So early on, we had to iron through some things. We had to iron through some old perceived ideas, the Cinderella syndrome. I'm sure that's what it was. And we had to iron through it. And had my extended parents not have been open to go through the process, if they did not love my biological parents, they would have never went through the process. Let me start that. Love covers a multitude of sin. So if they did not love my biological parents, they would have never chose or signed up for the job because it was an ugly job when you're dealing with little kids who's smart mouthing you and telling you you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy, you can't tell me what to do, and on and on and on. So it was love and their love for the biological parents that caused them to begin to weather the storm. And then as the relationships began to develop between them, between the extended parents and the extended children, then you start building a love. You start really loving. There becomes a care. And then when both parents, biological and extended parents, are on the same page, then they're laying the foundation of what the respect is going to look like. They're laying the foundation that there's no difference. And when children see that there's no difference, and both sets of parents have to be able to get along. Why? Because it's important because kids automatically have a sense of loyalty. So such as, well, if I be nice to this extended parent, will the biological parent be concerned? Will I be disloyal to them? So kids go through that. The adult, it may not even be that. The adults may have never even presented that, but this is what's going on in kids' minds. Well, if I be nice to my extended dad when my biological dad feels angry, when he feels cheated, or if I'm nice to my extended mother when my biological mother feels angry, when she feels cheated. So these are the things that the parent, the biological parent, have to lay the foundation for, so that children don't have to deal with that. Children should not have to deal with that. Anytime another adult wants to step in and be loving and be kind to your child, that should be always a welcome blessing. There should be no insecurities. There should be no fear. It doesn't take the place of, but it has an extension of. Amen? An extension of. So tonight, I'm going to go a little further. I am going to take you because last night I got this big revelation. And the big revelation I got as we began to talk about the extended parent was we think everything is new. We think that everything is new, and there's nothing new up under the sun, the Bible says. Do you know that Jesus was the first, or Joseph was the first extended parent? Joseph was the first extended parent. So let's go and let's just read the story real quickly here. We're gonna just fly right on over to Matthew chapter 1, and we're gonna go verses 18 through 25. But before we go to Matthew, I'm gonna just do a summary because I'm not gonna read through. But in Luke 1 through 26, it tells a story about Mary. It tells a story about the angel coming before Mary, and and basically telling Mary, hey, we have a project for you. Or not a project, but God has chosen you. You know, we've chosen you to be the Messiah. Now, keep in mind, back in those days, you have to remember what the culture was, what the traditions were. Mary was already assigned to marry Joseph, right? And she was a virgin, and that's what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to be a virgin until marriage. Joseph had already put up his dowry. That was going to be his wife. Amen. And so here she gets this story. She had, you know, Mary, from what we understand, is that she was really honorable. She had a relationship with God. She followed all the rules and the laws and spiritual laws. And God must have found Mary worthy, because Mary was not even from the line of David. But God must have found Mary worthy. So he chose Mary to carry the Messiah. So we know that story. So now we're going to skip down, and I'm going to get to Matthew. And I want to read Matthew, because you got to remember, see, we see this as a Bible. We've seen the end to the story, so it's easy for us to accept the fact that, okay, yeah, Mary got pregnant, and it wasn't through, you know, through immaculate conception, and we know that, why wouldn't Joseph accept it? But we know that we said that because we knew it was Jesus. Joseph didn't know. He didn't really understand how she got pregnant. So in Matthew 1:18, it tells us, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her publicly. So he was an honorable man. He didn't want to just throw her under the bus. He didn't want to publicly disgrace her. He had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, great story. We know the story. But just imagine, Joseph stepped in and he became the extended parent for Jesus. Now, what I also found interesting is this, is that when we think about this word step and people use it, and we think about the negativity of the word, and we think about some of the things that it represents, which are all not great, tonight I want to say that when you consider that Joseph became the extended parent for Jesus, Mary, keep in mind, was not a part of the lineage, but Joseph was. Joseph was part of the lineage of David, and Matthew tells you the lineage. It takes you all the way from the King David, and it goes all the way through who begot who, and I'm not going to go through that. But the point I'm trying to make is that God has a plan for everything. And even when we said we done blew it and we done got a divorce and we done got remarried and now this person comes into play, God has a plan for everything. He had a plan with Jesus as it pertains to Joseph and the extended family. Joseph treated Jesus like he was his son. Matter of fact, nobody else knew that Jesus wasn't Joseph's son but Mary. Jesus became what Joseph was. Joseph was a carpenter, and he taught Jesus carpentry. He took him up on his wing, and he taught him like he taught the rest of his kids, because him and Mary ended up having other sons. Joseph taught Jesus his religion, how to honor God, what the laws and the pre-laws were, how spiritually. Joseph made sure in those days what they considered, made sure Jesus went to church, took him to the synagogue at certain times of the year to serve, to acknowledge and partake in certain holy days. So everything that Jesus was, Joseph and Mary, his mother, downpoured into him. They guide him. They led him. They caused him to learn and be who God had called him to be. And that had nothing to do with biology. This was not his biological child, but he still became a part of the lineage. And they use the term adoption, and in Christian theology, is the mission of the behavior in, or the is the mission of a believer into the family of God. So we know that we are adopted into the family. When we accept Jesus Christ and give our lives over to the Lord, we become a mission of believer. We're into the family of God. We become children of God. And then it says the theological word adoption has similar connotations to the act of legally placing a child with a parent or parents other than those whom they were born. So the word adoption, as we use it today, is very strong. It's very, hey, this is what it is, and it says here. But I also say that, you know, the word adoption and the word extended, or as some say, step, is one, I think, was one and the same. Joseph didn't go to court to get legal rights to Jesus. He stepped in. He became an extension. He became a father to Jesus. It wasn't no legal thing. He just took on the role, and Jesus became his son. The adoption into Christ, yes, we go through accepting the ceremony of or the acknowledgement of accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, but we become an extension of the family, of the body of Christ. And so I'm saying this to you to say is that it doesn't, just because you have not birthed this child, whether you become an extension as a parent, whether you become an extension through marriage, or you become an extension just through love, you become an extension, even as teachers, they become an extension of the parent, because a good teacher extends himself. They guide the child. They teach the child. They correct the child. It becomes an extension. And so we have to get away from this thing of that ain't my child. Oh my goodness, I'm not gonna marry anybody that have children because I don't want to deal with somebody else's children. Because we play a part, and especially as believers, and if we understand the whole story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, why would God do it like that? Why would he do it like that? Why couldn't he just have, I mean, we know why, but I'm asking the question. He could have did it any way he wanted to do it. I mean, I believe that God knew. He knew the outcome of the world. Just like with the Tower of Babel, he knew that where these people's minds were at. He knew what they were thinking, and he had to confuse them with various languages. He knew. Don't think that God didn't know for one minute that we were going to be living in the world we're living in today. Don't think for one minute that he had no clue that the divorce rate would be at an alarming rate. Is he happy about it? Absolutely not. But he knew. He knew. And it's amazing. We should embrace when we read the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we read about the disciples, and we read about their issues, when we read about the Old Testament, and we read about David and his issues, and Noah and his issues, and Moses and his issues, and Abraham, and all these people had issues. All of them had issues. And when we read about this, that should be an encouragement to us in our humanity, not to say it should not be a get-out-of-jail-free card to say, well, you know what? Noah was a drunk, so I'm going to be a drunk. But what it should say is that in spite of my struggle, in spite of what I'm going through, that God is able, that God still sees the value in me, that God sees who he created. It should be enough encouragement to make one of us say, or somebody say, I don't want to do that no more. Because God's grace has been sufficient. God's mercy is good. It should make us want to say, for those of us who came out of the extended family, we should be able to respect and honor that extended parent, especially if the extended parent is godly and they have done what they needed to do as a parent. I was saying last night, and this is the truth of the matter, regardless of how people want to see it, but the truth of the matter is this. A man is going to take care of where he lays his head. A man's home is where he's going to pour into. Now, when a man has other children from other relationships, he has an obligation as a man to care for those children, to support. You hear the word support. That's why it's called child support. He has an obligation to support the other parent in helping to take care of his seed. It's support. But everything is going to pour into where the roof where he lays his head. And even though somebody can say, well, I'm not in agreement with that, that's okay. You don't have to be in agreement, but that's the truth. And that's where the argument comes in. That's where the frustration comes in at. But that's the reality. That is the reality. Because when you're building a home and you're married and you and your wife are building a home, everybody that's under that home, is benefiting from that home. So if I have a home here and I have 4 bedrooms and 3 baths and a swimming pool in the backyard, guess what? Everybody that lives up under this roof is going to benefit from everything. Every groceries that come through, every bill, every electricity, everything, they're going to benefit. Now, if my biological parent is in another place, let's just say, and I'm just going to say my mom is in another place. She lives over here, and my biological dad lives over here, and both live with my extended parents. So then I go over to, let's say, mom's house, and mom has a two-bedroom apartment. She has a two-bedroom apartment. She's finding it kind of hard to meet her bills every month. Things are difficult. But dad is over here. Dad has this beautiful home because dad worked hard. Dad and his wife worked hard to build this beautiful home, this beautiful place. Can you see where the frustration comes in at? Not that dad is wrong, but can you see, for the child, can you see where if they don't understand, if they don't have the maturity level, if they don't have the wisdom, then you see where the problem comes in at. So we want to be careful in how we, and you can't, you only could do what you can do. But I'm trying to help somebody listening in on tonight to understand this. I'm trying to help you to understand because somebody has been in turmoil. Somebody has been angry and bitter at dad. Somebody has been angry and bitter at dad because they feel like they haven't received or they haven't gotten what they feel like they were supposed to. And tonight, my prayer is that you could be relieved, that you could begin to understand, that you could begin to see both sides of the seesaw, so to say, that you could begin to see the even balance of things, that you could begin to open up. And maybe now when you go around your extended mother, you don't have to have a bad attitude. You don't have to be ugly acting because people pick that up. And people are going to respond how you respond. So if you're treating somebody in a negative way, they may shut down. And have you really given them a fair shot? Have you opened up your heart to really receive them and give them a fair shot as your extended parent? Likewise, that could be the same with an extended father. If Joseph was able to just trust God in this whole process and take on Jesus, and Jesus received You know, at the time, whatever Joseph was, Jesus was. Now, a little different in this situation, because there wasn't a biological father in the, well, there was a biological father, but there wasn't a biological human being father in the picture. So I'm sure it made it a lot easier. Joseph didn't have anything that he had to come up against. There wasn't no strife. There wasn't no insecurity. So he didn't have to deal with that, which made the situation a little different. But the point of the matter remains the same, that Joseph was open and willing to extend him to become the extended parent. He was willing to partner with Mary for the greater good, to cause Jesus to be all that God called him to be. We, if we are extended parents, we have to get to a point where we realize that we have to come together with our partners. And, of course, I'm talking to people that got younger kids. We have to come together with our partner. We decided, if we believe that God sent us this person to marry, that this is supposed to be our partners in life, then their children become your children and your children become their children. And the objective here is for you to partner together to raise, to nurture, to love, to guide, to direct, and to correct these children. If you trust this man enough to marry him, then you're saying that you trust his wisdom, that you trust his guidance. If you don't trust his guidance, you don't trust his wisdom, and you don't trust him to speak into the lives of your children, then you do not have any business marrying him. Likewise, men, if you don't trust this woman, if you don't believe that God sent her to be your helpmate, if you don't trust her to be able to discipline correctly, if you don't trust her to be able to speak into your children's lives, if you don't trust her to be able to love and nurture your children, then maybe that's not the woman you want to marry, because it becomes a partnership. It's no I's and U's. It's ours. That means that what you have, they have. And we, extended parents, cannot go around with our prejudices. What you mean, Coach D? We cannot go around treating our biological kids better or doing more for our biological kids than we're doing for our extended kids. Oh, Jesus. Because we accepted, when you said, I do, you didn't just say, I do to this person. You said, I do to everything that comes with it. You said, I do, that I will become the extension. And when people get to the right mindset and the right wisdom of and accept being the extension, let me tell you something. It's amazing. How do you know, Coach D? Because I came from an extended family. I have two sets of parents whom I love dearly, who have sold into me emotionally and mentally and financially and physically. And I have, and because of the wisdom, because of the commitment to do the job, that extension has been an amazing experience. It's nothing like having two mothers and two fathers that lead and guide you, that's there for you. It's nothing like it. And I'm not sure how many people could just really say from the depth of their heart that I have two sets of parents. That my parents did not let idiosyncrasy cause their kids to miss a blessing. Don't you know, mother, that when you got another woman that's willing to love your child, that takes some of the pressure off of you? Don't you know, fathers, when you got another man that's willing to love and accept your children, that that takes some of the worry from you. Joseph was a great extension. He was a great extended father. And if you didn't know the story of how Mary conceived, you would never know that Joseph wasn't Jesus' father. Think about it. He took her out of the town and took her away for her to give birth. Not only that, during that time, and I think it was King Herod who had sent out an order and they were killing, he knew about, you know, he had heard about Jesus. And if you remember, he was the one who sent the wise men out to find Jesus. And he was killing all the firstborn males, the babies. He was killing them, trying to kill the purpose, the promise. And Joseph took his family, and they went away. He heard, but the key thing here, even in this, and I'm not going to continue to draft, but Joseph had a relationship with God. Joseph had a personal relationship with God. He had to have one, because when God spoke to Joseph, Joseph was obedient, and he moved. Had Joseph not been obedient to God and had not had a personal relationship, Joseph would have never agreed to be the extended father. Had he not had a personal relationship with God, Joseph would have stayed one day too long, and Jesus may have been taken out at birth. But Joseph was obedient, and when God said go, he went. And when God said stay, he stayed. He allowed God to help him to raise and to maneuver and to take care of and to correct his family. Without God, little is possible. Little is possible. I don't know how people who don't believe or have not accepted or received, I don't even know how they get through. I don't know how they do it. I just don't know. Because with God, all things are possible. And without the love of God, it's almost impossible to even be able to live what a true joyous life. It makes it difficult. It makes it so much easier to operate in anger and hate and so many other things when you don't or you have not experienced the love of God. So tonight, my challenge would be for you, if you are an extended parent, to take the job serious like Joseph did. You don't know who that little person is. You don't know who that kid is. You don't know who that teenager is. You don't know who God called them to be. And you don't know how your love or lack of love affects the direction that they're to go in. And it may be you, that extension, that is the key to provoking this kid to their purpose. It may be you that's the extension that could heal some of the wounds of this kid. There may be some life experiences that you have experienced that you could pour into this kid that could be a blessing, that could change his life or change her life. They may have never viewed themselves as ever being a doctor, seen it as totally impossible. But you could possibly change that. They may have never imagined being an heir to the throne, but you can change that. So today, are you willing to take the challenge like Joseph did? Are you willing to be the best extended parent you could be? And this may not be your spouse. This may not, I'm not married. but I could be open to mentoring some young ladies. I could be open to love on some young men that need just to know that, hey, somebody cares. I could be open to disciple. That's an extension. Are you open to be an extension of the love of God, your Heavenly Father, to children, to the orphan? There's so many out there that don't have the extension. And can we become the extension? Are we willing to be the extension? Father God, I thank you for the word that you have given on tonight. Lord, I thank you for giving us the revelation that Joseph was the first extension. And Father, as we even go through scriptures, we'll find out that there was other extensions. When we think about Moses, who Pharaoh's daughter became an extension. When we think about Esther, who changed or made a change for her people, her cousin became the extension. When we think about Joseph again and Jesus, Joseph became the extension. And when we think about our own personal walk, our spiritual walk, we think about the spiritual adoption. And Father, you are the extension. We just thank you on tonight, Father God. I speak to every pain. I speak to every hurt. I speak to every dysfunction, Father, as a result of the term step. And Father, we rebuke and bind the term step right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we embrace the term extension. We receive the term extension. And Father God, we thank you for giving us the revelation of the extension. So tonight, Father, we just say thank you for loving us enough to reveal the extension. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to tonight's episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that you recognize and you'll recover, or you're willing to recover from the Cinderella syndrome. And some of you, again, this may not apply to, but I think everybody has had an experience of extension. You know, we find in this day and age where people are talking more, you know, with this new age of talk shows and all this other stuff, people are talking more. And we're finding finding out that 70 years later that the person they thought was their parent was not their parent, and now they're so devastated and so painful, they're so hurt, you know, and there's so much conflict and jealousy because maybe my sister's dad was not my dad, but I thought it was all this stuff. And we're hurt behind it. And we're broken behind it. And we want to choose to be victims behind it. And tonight, God wants you to know that he made no mistakes. He made no mistakes. That whatever the enemy planned for bad, that God turned around for good in your life, that you have a Father in heaven who sees all and knows all. Jeremiah 29 said he knows the thoughts he has towards us. He has thoughts of hope, of future, to prosper. It's not his desire that we get tripped up on little technicalities. Nothing's new up under the sun. He did it for Moses. He did it for Esther. He did it for Jesus, and he's willing to do it for you. He's willing to do it for you, but you just got to ask him. Whatever pain, whatever hurt, some of you didn't have a good extension experience. Maybe you did have the syndrome. Maybe you were mistreated or abused as a child from an extended parent. Well, I'm praying for you on tonight. I'm praying that you'll release it. I'm praying that you'll be set free, that you'll be delivered. I'm praying for that God will give you an enormous spirit of forgiveness where you'll be able to forgive and let go and move on to be everything that God's called you to be. No longer being a failure, no longer accepting failure as a way of life because of what somebody did to you when you were 4 or what somebody did to you when you was 14, but releasing it and knowing that you have a Heavenly Father that's able to change that pain, that's able to help you process through it so that you don't have to be stuck, so that you don't have to be stagnant, so that you don't have to be paralyzed anymore, but you can move forward into your God dreams, visions, and ideas, and you can begin to birth those things. No more pain when it comes to extension. No more pains of the past or what somebody did or didn't do. But moving forward in your now and being all that God called you to be. Allow Him to set you free. You've held on to the pain long enough, and it's become a crutch. It's become a crutch, and you can't run with crutches. He said, throw down the crutches and run. Throw down the crutches and run. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight. It's been a journey, and I just thank God for the journey. I hope that you continue to tune in with us on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time for Processing the Pain. And also, if you get a chance on Wednesday nights, check us out on Woman to Woman. Just next week, you may want to tune in to Woman to Woman. Woman to Woman next week is going to be a very special program. In 1999, we're going to share a little bit with you. In 1999, a lady who was going through a divorce and going through custody and visitation battles with her ex-husband, who was not actively involved in the kids' lives, but one was fighting her. Anyway, there's always 2-3 sides to every story, but the basis of it is that this woman sent her kids to visit their dad. She put them on a plane, court ordered, even in spite of all the red flags and concerns and tape recordings, the judge in Orange County made a decision that the kids should go visit their dad. And she put her 3 kids, a twin boys, 10, and a daughter, 12, on the plane. And that was the last time she'd seen her kids. The next thing she heard the next day, her ex-husband had killed their 3 kids, his new wife, and himself. Well, I am honored. Tragic story, but I'm so honored that lady will be a guest on Woman to Woman next Wednesday, and she will be there to share her story, and she's going to share her story, and so it's going to be a sensitive show because there's still probably 15 years later, there's still a lot of pain. You don't get over that kind of pain. I don't know that you ever get over losing all 3 of the kids, but she's going to share her story, and so again, if you are available on Wednesday, you may want to tune in to that episode of Woman to Woman because she's going to be sharing her story. But I'm believing in her. This will be her first time talking really publicly about her experience and what she's had to go through. And I'm believing and I'm asking my listening audience that follows MCD Network to be in prayer for this lady because I'm believing that God's anointing is going to be heavy in the studio on that night, and I'm believing that in the midst of her sharing her story, that there's going to be a healing, that God is going to come through and begin to truly heal her and ease some of the pain that she's going through. And so I want you guys to be in prayer, because I know that's going to be a very sensitive show, and we want to make sure that we're honoring God in the show. But we're all, you know, not but, we want to honor God as she shares her story of tragedy and how she's trying to get back to being, a victor and not a victim. So, again, that's next Wednesday at 7 p.m., same channel. And, again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and look forward to being with you next week.